only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally. You guys, it's Taking It Personally, continuing our voyage today in Valley Village and beyond. So excited to have back someone who just shared a little thoughts. Dare I say, he in fact mentioned it all. So welcome back to Taking It Personally, Bravoholic Vulture blogger, whose other credits include Vogue, The Cut, and the LA Times, among others, Tom Smythe. Tom Smith Smythe. How are we?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
We just really deep dived all things VPR in a way that I genuinely found healing.
Definitely. And this feels like the right order. For some reason, I can only watch every week. I have to watch Vanderpump first and then The Valley.
Yes.
And I feel like it's ingrained in me from that backdoor pilot.
Of like, is that what it is?
I feel like that's what it is, where I'm like, well, you have to watch the prequel and then, you know, watch the main dish, The Valley. I feel like that ordering is like has gotten into my head.
I completely agree with you. And I think that is a part of the reason. For me, an additional reason is because I know The Valley will deliver.
Yes.
And I feel like it's my reward for like not only watching VPR, but ideally, potentially like genuinely paying attention, is that if I pay attention to Vanderpump Rules and I get through it and I survive, I have The Valley on the other side.
Dinner and dessert.
Truly. And, you know, we were just talking about OG spirits and energies and vibes and the ways that America's Sweetheart Joe may or may not continue some of that spirit. And I was watching the newest episode and just some of what Jax was saying and some of the flashbacks with the editors. First off, editors are having time of their lives.
Oh, amazing.
And I love it. We can tell when they're having a good time and they're 100% having a good time with The Valley. But I was just fucking watching Jax on screen. It might have been when he was like, I told Jasmine something and I need her to like run an errand for me and find out the information so I can be the guy to deliver the surprise. And I started to laugh and I just thought to myself, God, I've missed Jax.
Yeah, we're home.
We're home.
It's so good.
TV has not been the same without him.
No. And people doubted going into The Valley. People were, oh, what's this? Blah, blah, blah. No more Jackson. No. These are people. And I knew it from the get-go. And I, you know, when this was announced, if you have Jax Taylor and Kristen Doty on your television, you cannot go wrong. It is impossible for them to make bad television. That scene of the two of them at that's getting burgers at the steakhouse. I could no editing, just raw footage for like 3 hours and I'm in heaven. I just need to hear the two of them talk. They're beautiful minds. See how they work. Spend some time. Oh, it's so good.
Okay. I do need to say, just for the public record, and I'm not saying this from a place of shame, but I absolutely was one of those people who thought The Valley was going to be a mess. I was like, this is going to be stupid. Yeah. I don't know who these new, I'm not great with change. And I was like, I don't know who these new people are. And Jax has been so desperate to be back on TV. Like I'm saying it like it was a bad thing, lol. But he's just so desperate. It's just going to be dumb. And you know, if I don't know what's going to happen with Vanderpump Rules, The Valley certainly can't be better. And, you know, normalize changing your mind based on new information. The Valley began. And I thought, huh,
yeah,
I like it here.
This is a nice place.
This is a nice place. And it feels like, you know, apologies to, you know, Jesse and Michelle's marriage or whatever. But it feels like the stakes are both obviously sky high for them in their lives, but very, very low for me as a viewer.
It's a breath of fresh.
It's a breath of fresh. I want to see, there's no way to continue that sentence of like your lives crumble apart. But like, I just, there's something that feels right about there being such a separation where I'm invested in the story, but and I care about the story, I care about the episodes, but I can't genuinely tell you that I'm like fighting to save Jesse and Michelle's marriage or anything. You know,
we don't have where it takes us.
We're just seeing where it takes us. And also, again, when it comes to like advanced information, normally change your mind. When I heard that they were splitting up, was it before the premiere? It was like the week of the premiere.
Yeah, because it was after Jackson Brittany, but before the show started.
Right. I was like, first off, the Jackson Brittany, I did think there's something suspicious about this.
Yeah.
Just with timing, but I 100% believe it's 1000% real. Like, we're seeing it. We're watching it. I'm looking at Brittany's eyes. I see sadness there. Jax is out to lunch a little bit there, but also he's making some points, like stuff is happening there. They're obviously not in a good place. But Michelle and Jesse, I was just like, well, what the fuck is happening? They're already breaking up. Like, what are we going to be watching?
Yeah,
we're going to be watching them break up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great TV.
Very good.
It's very, very good. Mm-hmm. There was a point when Jesse, was it in the episode itself or the preview? Because I watched both, not the trailer, not like a mm-hmm. advanced footage, but I watched both twice. And the point when he was saying, maybe it was when they were still at Jax's balding dinner, but when Jesse was like, if there, you have to choose between her and us. Like, it's either... Do you remember that point, that moment where he was like, I don't remember if it was in the scene for next week or if it was a part of this current episode, but he was like, you have to choose between her and us. Like, we're going, if we go on a trip or whatever, like, again, you, for the 18th time, you have to choose between her and us. The amount of ego to be a new, I know the power dynamics on this specific show, but to say, I mean, Kristen Doty is one of the main reasons why this show is a show that exists.
Yeah.
So I was just genuinely offended on her behalf. I did, I think, also laugh because I was like, you cannot, LOL, that you think this show can continue without her or that decision is up to
you. Yeah, like, oh, they're going to ice her out and then we'll do our show. No, like, this is, I was going to say, like, center diamond, but whatever the Valley equivalent of that is.
It's what, like, is that? It's a handful of grass, like, on the, I don't know, one of their backyards. Place? Some mulch.
Yeah. Center, like, Joanne Latte. Like,
yeah.
And the, or no, Jones on third. Jones, yes, on third.
I just, got it. Yeah, yeah. But also Joanne Fabrics. I got some energy there, yeah, too. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's just comical. And, but of course, Kristen being... She's only gotten stronger, by the way, like, over time, like, her powers have only grown, and, like, she can now convey what she, like, had to once convey in, like, poetically verbal, like, suck a dick or this, that, or the, or verbal, or physical violence. Now she can, like, convey with a glance.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll just see it, like, wash over her face in, like, a millisecond, and I'm, like, chills down the spine. It has that same effect. So... Oh, yeah, they're sorely mistaken to think that they can stand a chance.
Also, speaking of sorely mistaken, Luke thinking that he can get through to Kristen about, I guess, how her words can maybe hurt people or whatever.
This is now at 40, we're going to
really work on that.
Yeah.
But like at any time with Kristen and Jax, you're going to be up against a little bit of a struggle when it comes to these specific people being interested in adapting and being capable of adapting or changing. Luke, in that moment, I saw life sort of disappear from his eyes. 'Cause I think for him, he thought to himself, oh, so this is who I'm with.
Yeah, there was a moment, there was an aha moment there for sure.
But then he twisted that aha moment into trying to, like, threaten her. Or their relationship, you know, I'm not going to give you a baby or choose to be your baby daddy if you don't change your behavior. When has that ever worked, ever in life, let alone with Kristen Doty?
Yeah, it's
Doty.
What
is it, Doty? It's my duty to love Doty with yes, Kristen exactly. Doty.
Yeah, it's such a weird dynamic. And we're catching her at such a great point where she is in this weird relationship where... They're long distance trying to have a baby. Just truly very bizarre, but couldn't have asked for more in terms of where they're all at. But yeah, it's very bizarre to kind of see him all of a sudden be in this role. And also all of a sudden not just be in the world of dating Kristen Doty, but and now you're also on a reality show.
Yeah.
Like, that must be such a like jarring change for him.
Yeah, and I think Luke's one of those guys who like takes people at their word, and that's your first mistake, sir.
Oh, yes,
like
yes,
that's
yes,
your first mistake.
Yeah.
To do that on any Bravo show, let alone a show with Jax, like no, that's not going to happen. And Baby Jax, also known as Jesse,
yeah,
or Alternate World Jax, like Sliding Doors Jax is Jesse. Like it's just, it's, I don't know what to think of Luke at this point. How are you feeling?
Kind of the same. I'm like, he's there.
Yeah, he is there.
Right?
He's present for class. He's the kind of guy who's always 15 minutes early.
Yeah, and it feels like that's separating him. That's making him like fish out of water, mm-hmm, which does work in what's going on. But it is, you know, he's a little bit on like a different plane.
Yeah,
in of terms existence of yes. Whereas a lot of them feel either they are, you know, legendary reality TV people, mm, or feel very comfortable, like, and like it comes very second nature to a lot of them. He is kind of a third thing.
Is he too, I don't want to say normal, but is he too, I don't know. It just feels
he is too much just some guy.
Yeah, he
like
gives
I feel like
big
that,
some guy energy.
Yes. Like almost kind of a, maybe it's just the name thing, but I'm like similar-ish dynamic to Luke on Summer House.
Whoa.
Where he's sort of like in the yard building an igloo, or he's like in the yard building a shed. And like there's a reality show happening around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is from a state.
Yeah, and how do we feel
with
about
an
that?
M? What's
he's from Colorado?
Oh, yes. Who's from Montana?
Oh, is anyone? That Luke? I don't know.
Yeah, they're from two different states, but
yeah,
in my mind, geographically, I'm like
they converge
somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting. It lends itself to an interesting dynamic to shake, you know, diversify the show in terms of everyone's what they're bringing.
How do you feel about the reaction that people have to this confusing tea that is not based in any kind of reality because Kristen got the partners crossed? Like whole Jesse saying, I'm gonna marry, according to Luke, joking that, you know, marriage has only got a couple more months, mm-hmm, versus what Kristen was, I guess, trying to say that he said she has two more months.
Do you know what it reminds me of? First of all, I think it's so funny that Kristen delivered the news as such, and then Jax was like, oh, it's the opposite. He was like, oh, it's, yeah, but no, it's actually the switch, as if that's that different, but it's also very different. It reminds me of on Jersey, Raccoon Face. He said, no, he was talking about Kathy.
Oh my God.
When Melissa was like, Joe called me a raccoon face, and Teresa, as if this was going to be consolation or something, like a clarification that needed to be said. No, he wasn't talking about you. He was talking about Kathy, and then Kathy with Kelly sitting there.
And then Melissa's face, Teresa, no.
So good. But that is the vibe of it, of like that clarification of equal terribleness.
Yeah. Jesse and Michelle are a lot to watch because they're not giving us anything, and also every moment that they're in a scene together, I'm like, this is almost overwhelming for me.
Yeah, just watching them get smoothies, I was like,
oh, when she handed him that smoothie, I was slightly distracted because I was like, was that an Erewhon smoothie?
I was like, what is that? That's like pitch black.
Know,
it's like,
did that cost $30?
Yeah.
Was Haley, what's her face, involved in that in any way? Like, mm-hmm, tell me. I'm just so fascinated by all things Erewhon because it feels like such a foreign world, should not exist.
Yeah.
And I say that as a New Yorker, mm-hmm, but I want to go to it more than anything else in Los Angeles the next time I'm there, God forbid. They're Jesse trying to clarify, I guess, their current energies as a couple and saying, you know, this has brought us closer together. Well, then you were very fucking far apart. Jesus.
Yeah.
But I believe him. I believe that in this sense, he's fighting for their relationship. But I think to Jesse, it's like fighting external powers versus his own impulses and being a piece of shit. Like, maybe instead of focusing so much on Kristen talking about your relationship, mm-hmm, going to hell, you wonder where you currently are. Like, what are you actually doing in this dynamic aside from talking about the fact that when I give an oath, I mean it? But like, yeah. What are you doing about that aside from signing a piece of paper?
Yeah. An oath's an oath, but just staking around isn't really following the oath. It's just, you know, kind of more geographic. Like you're there, but are you actually working on the problems of the marriage?
Do you think this is where it kind of merges with what's going on with Jackson Brittany? Do you think that if Jesse woke up one day and it was during filming, not now, because he's like fucking dating somebody or whatever. If he woke up during filming, during this process and said, you know what? I realize what I did wrong. I'm fucking up this relationship. I'm a terrible partner. I'm going to haul ass to like more therapy. I'm going to work. I'm going to like take care of the kid. I'm going to make sure that my wife feels like she's not being overwhelmed with responsibility. And, you know, we'll go out to dinner or whatever else was missing from that dynamic. Do you think that Michelle would have been open to that? Or is she just so checked out at this point that she would have been like, go fuck yourself, LOL?
It feels like the moment has passed. It feels like she's already kind of made up her mind, and which is, I'm sure, is totally fair, and that there was enough reason to have already kind of made that decision and, you know, stick with it. It is tougher because we didn't get to see the buildup to this point the way that we have with other shows. You know, we're talking about Vanderpump Rules, and the kind of, we were able to study like the long trajectory of a relationship and its demise. This is something different, so we didn't get to see all of that, but just based off of her the way she's coming across, it does feel like that she is checked out. She's already kind of on her way out, and I wonder the role the show has in kind of them waiting until cameras are down or what have you, or progressing it and making it kind of be like, okay, they're being confronted with it in a way that they maybe, that would have been kind of longer drawn out otherwise.
The show's editors did something. It was the second time this has happened where I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I guess the first time was maybe at her house at that party she threw, where there was the buildup to there being this huge argument. And then the next week's episode started after the fact.
Oh,
where
yeah.
People were talking about it. With this new episode, I felt like last week's ended where she's like calling everybody into the room. She's going to tell them something. This is going to be the moment. And then it picked up after the fact. Why is that happening?
That was bizarre. I almost missed that because I was like,
I had when to go back because I was like, I feel like I missed something.
Yeah. I kind of thought, I was like, oh, wait, we're already out of that dinner. And I don't think I pieced it together. But yeah, the time they did it earlier in the season was weird too, because they had Jackson Brittany essentially recap it to us at the farmer's market. Like, and that's what you missed on Glee, of them just being like, and I remember when this happened, and then show a clip of it. And remember. So I feel like that, the first time it happened, I was like, oh, something funky must have happened in the like editing process, and they sort of had to stitch it together in a weird way, or just, it just didn't. I sort of trust that when something weird happens like that, there's a reason, in terms of like, it just didn't work as a straightforward scene for some reason, and they had to get creative. But this one was weird. I do want to go back and see exactly how it ends, like you said, because that just feel like we missed a bunch to just jump right to breakfast.
I just thought she was about, or maybe I just like assumed incorrectly that she, you know what happens when you make an assumption. Jesse makes an ass of himself. I just thought that the episode was going to begin with like, and here is the thing. And then it just felt like it skipped ahead a little bit.
Honestly, maybe she did that and then was like, time for dessert. Like maybe it was just like she didn't have anything to say. And they were like, well, we want to keep the dramatic return to the room. But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. But I trust they wouldn't leave anything on the floor.
Yeah. And if they did, Janet would be there to pick it up.
Oh, my God. Love her. She's, so, again, someone who just feels very, like, dropped in. And she's just there. Like, she reminds me of, like, Lady Gaga at the Capitol.
What?
Of, like, I investigated.
Oh.
To see, there was a cracked window. I looked for clues, like just wandering through the post January 6th Capitol looking for evidence. That feels very Janet to me, where she is so, and oh, the like I guess not even a montage, but just the confessional of her talking about her love of gossip.
Oh my God.
And then seeing it in action and her husband being like, yeah, she stopped working.
That was maybe the best part of the episode. That was like top 30 best part of the episode. There were so many good parts.
Proving his point so explicitly, like so brilliantly, just kind of being like, and see.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. It delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Living in New York City is not easy. Just ask Sonia trying to sell that house. There are so many mornings where I wake up and think, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst cold of my life. And I realize it's actually from allergies. When my nasal allergies flare up, and that happens when the season changes and the temps get a little warmer than they normally are, I use Astapro, and I'm amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. And that game is looking for Dorinda on the Upper East Side. Astapro always has my back and nose. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options. And it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Waze anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Waze other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Waze. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
Speaking of people who don't necessarily entirely understand their partner, Jesse thinking that Janet is gossiping because she's not working at a 9-to-5. Sir, she loves this. Yeah. Maybe you didn't see it because she would do it with her coworkers, but she has always been this way. Pregnancy hasn't changed her or made her passions different. It's just that you have more access to it because you see her more during the day.
Gossips are born, not made. This was in Janet's bones forever and always. And now she gets to live her true self on reality TV.
And poor Jesse being like, oh, it's too much for a pregnant woman to deal with, and like wanting to hug her or whatever. And it's like, sir, no, this is giving her so much energy. Yeah. This is her vitamin C.
This is making the baby stronger.
It is.
This baby is going to come out walking.
The baby is going to walk out 10 years old. Yes. 100%. Yeah. Janet, I don't trust her even a little bit. I do also embrace the villain energy that I see flowing through her. I think she is not a different form of Jox. I would never say that. I sort of almost did. But there's just something about her that's very crafty and conniving where I'm like, oh, you envisioned a future for yourself on this show.
She's got a brilliant future ahead of her. She really does. I'm thrilled to behold it. She's going to take us places that we never could have dreamed. I'm so excited.
I think she's tricked people, and it's okay if people feel differently, but I think she's like tricked people into thinking like she's super likable, and she is.
She's like the Greek choir.
Right.
Sure, Janet.
Sure. I just think there's other stuff there. Mm-hmm. There's like it's not that it's cosplay, but there is someone that I was shit talking the other day, but also a couple days, and I said that they were cosplaying being a nice guy, and this is sort of a little bit, not apologies to Janet for making that comparison, but like a little bit, there's a little cosplay here of like, I'm Miss Innocent, I'm just trying to troubleshoot.
I'm the normal one,
right?
Like, I'm the sort of, I always just refer to it as like the Eileen Davidson of the show.
Oh,
of like that role of like,
yes,
I'm the viewer's eyes, the Greek chorus, the, you know, the voice of reason, whatever. And I feel like that is kind of the position they're putting her in. But like you said, there's more to her. I feel like that she's kind of more like the rest of them than...
I'm giving eyes. I think maybe because Eileen didn't like to gossip.
Oh, yeah, no, I just refer to it as like, amongst a cast,
yeah,
when there is someone who just seems like it's this cast of reality stars, and then one of them is apparently just like a normal lady,
yeah,
that I just in my head I'm always like, oh yes, the Eileen Davidson or the Carol Radswell at certain seasons, you know, like that kind of role, the Dolores at times. And I feel like Janet is someone, in looking at this show and looking at all of the couples, I'm like, oh, she seems like one of us. Like, she is that kind of normal voice. As it's gone on, we've gotten to kind of dig a little deeper, which I'm excited by. But
do you know who I'm actually thinking when it comes to housewives? Because then I started to like float away in my mind thinking about other housewives. A little Emily Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have like a little Emily Simpson energy because Emily Simpson loves to goss, and we love that about her.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
Don't you have like a little, there's like a little Emily Simpson energy there, which I'm into.
Where it's like seemingly like
crafty.
Yeah, and like kind of Ken mm-hmm. kind of float to the background, end of mm-hmm. the couch, but oh, you're actually playing the game. And yeah, it might just take a minute.
She's hunting for clues under that couch. She's looking for some information to mm-hmm. Read and then immediately share. Listen, we need to have a conversation about mm-hmm. Brittany and Jax.
Of course.
A lot to unpack. How would we like to begin?
Oh my gosh. Well, we'd be remiss not to send out thoughts and prayers to Brittany's eye infection. And, you know, really hope that whatever happened there, whether she scratched her eye, whether it's
the world conjunctivitis
and she just invited a full party and is like, oh, I scratched it. Something's up that's making her wear glasses all episodes. So first and foremost, prayers up there. But it's also incredible that their romantic getaway ended in tears, which also is just a hotel room, ended in tears. And that we got that trailer moment of, I'll leave for my kid.
Oh my God. That was, first off, Brittany's glasses, I found them so endearing because mm-hmm. she just seems like a little lost
with
those glasses, and like her facial reactions when Jax is telling her he has information. She's like, what the fuck? Jax deciding to have them have a night to themselves after her mother and grandmother have left. Is that because production was only available on this other night?
It must have been. Like, that's one of those situations where it's like, Occam's razor has to just be like just writing it off as it must be like a show thing.
Right? Because that did not make sense. And when she said that out loud, I was like, oh, that is a great point.
Yeah. Or maybe the show had it that way on purpose so that they could also get the footage of Janet babysitting.
Yeah. Which,
so two for one.
I mean, listen, I've never been pregnant, don't have kids, but I would feel like the worst possible idea when you're pregnant is to babysit someone else's child.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. And not going to make you excited for what's to come.
No, I think some people, you know, it's like you obviously love your kid, but like you don't need to like other kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that I would be adding on babysitting. I don't know what that would prepare me for except for absolute shock and concern.
Yeah, that felt like a show construct.
I think that's something that people do.
To
babysit because it's whilst pregnant, because it's the idea of like, oh, and we'll get some experience. Mm-hmm. I don't think, maybe there's some stuff you're not supposed to know.
Yeah. Like, find out on your own time.
Toddlers are a lot. Like, maybe just grow into that.
Exactly. And she's not crossing that bridge for some time. So it's like,
I mean, not that much time.
Yeah. Well, she's got,
I don't know. I would rather know as little as possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
I remember one of my favorite moments on Bethany Getting Married and Bethany Ever After was Bethany and Jake, her good friend who I used to spin next to at Flywheel, went into like a baby store mm-hmm. and the baby owner person was like asking her questions or whatever. And maybe it was about her birth plan or something because she was heavily pregnant at that point. And Jake said, yeah, her birth plan is that she says one day the baby will be on the outside. And I laughed when I first saw it. I laugh every time I think of it. It's so adorable, but also like funny and dry and I think probably pretty apt. And I would probably take a similar route.
Yeah.
I have to tell you.
That's peak Bethany. Miss her so much.
I know, miss her. May her memory be a blessing, honestly.
But that's such a good line. Yeah, that seems to be the best way to do things. And even though, no disrespect to Cruz,
cute as can be.
Oh, incredible.
But he's a babe, he's a child.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
running around living his best life. So back to that hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode ends obviously with them seemingly unable to hear or understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
Jax leaves. No fucking happening that night. The tantric advisor. What would you call her? Groupon? I would go to her in a second. I would go to her in a second. I actually really enjoyed her energy. I thought when she had them like hold hands in the like Star Trek-y kind of fashion, I thought to myself, I bet that feels good. Like, I think there was stuff that she was doing where I was like, this is a pro. Like, mm-hmm. I would trust her with my life, or at least a third date. Like, I totally understood. I like respected her guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But was there a sadder moment this episode than her saying, like, didn't that feel great or whatever, and looking at Brittany's face?
Yeah, that's tough.
Brittany did not look happy mm-hmm. at that. She certainly did not look content.
And as a surprise,
oof,
could go some different ways to be like, surprise, here's this, we're in this woman's house. to talk about this and her, like, it was a big swing that maybe didn't land.
Wouldn't it have made more sense if Brittany was the one organizing this? Because the way it was presented is like, we need to be closer as a couple. And while I don't begrudge mm-hmm. or negate Jax for thinking that and planning that way, BCC, whatever producer actually planned it, the issue isn't necessarily like, the issue is certainly not having that kind of intimacy with each other. Brittany mentioning that they've had sex twice in the last year. Like, that's something that needs to be discussed and unpacked. But so I get that there's like a partner aspect to it, but a lot of this is about Jax. Yeah. Brittany's not getting a sense of what is happening with Jax, and she's feeling so self-conscious about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that seeps into everything. Like, the tail end of the episode, he's talking about the fact that he can't focus on having a kid right now because he has all these other responsibilities. I actually understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I understood why Brittany couldn't receive it and felt like it was an attack, because that's sort of all that he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of an extension of their relationship needs all of this work as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like putting off the kid thing and saying, oh, he has all the work stuff, all the bar stuff, where is she fitting in? Because he's not putting off the kid thing to work on his relationship with her. That's just continued. That's not even like a conversation, hardly. It's like the bar or having more kids. And she's continuing to kind of get lost in those conversations.
It is interesting to hear her talk about the fact that he's like absolutely minimizing the genuine stress their relationship is under, because he uses that when he wants to. He'll mm-hmm. say, the reason we're not having a kid is because I'm so overwhelmed with everything else, but then say, and also everything's fine. Like, yeah. He's playing it in a way that suits him. And while I think some of what he is saying to me makes sense, it's certainly not connected to opening up about other aspects of your relationship. We're only focusing on this one area instead of what else is happening that's informing this and what's your responsibility in that.
Yeah. And also, Jax Taylor, send me your Google Calendar, because I want to see just how busy this person really is with his many projects, his many that we keep alluding to, and the only one of which he's referencing is this bar, which is already a bar, and they're just putting up a sign that says Jax is seemingly, like, that seems to be the vibe of what's going on. And like, the only thing in my head when he keeps saying, oh, I'm so busy with all my projects, I keep thinking, your cameos?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm assuming is like up there with, and I don't even know if their podcast had started at this point. Like, there are questions abound about just what he's so busy with.
I'm sure he's trying to find things to monetize.
Oh, yeah.
But I also thought it was so funny when he was like, when she says, you know, it's not like you're like really doing anything. And then his response is, you know, she takes it back. She realizes what she said. And he's like, how can you say I didn't do anything? Where do you think that house came from? And I'm thinking, sir, you're holding that against her, that like maybe you paid for the house. And then she responds, and I'm so thankful she did, we paid the same amount of money. In that moment, I was like, you stupid motherfucker. Because he would have gotten away with a narrative that he provided all of this. And that's one of the reasons why she, to him, needs to kind of shut the fuck up. And the fact that she went equal, that according to Brittany, which I 100% believe, they put the same amount of money into the house, and he's trying to use the fact that he put half in against her when she also put half in. That is so manipulative to me.
It's the implants all over again.
Oh my God.
She learned from the implants and was like, we're going halvesies on the house. And she brought it up and called it out.
Yeah, don't, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Always look a gift horse in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, nay. Say nay to that gift horse when you're looking at it in the mouth, because Jax will never let go of control and opinions when he thinks he has the right to own them.
Yeah.
Jax Taylor, do we think he's fucking his publicist?
I have, that's so crazy to me, because I've only been following that like peripherally. Like, I've seen things that come up, but I haven't like dived into that head first. I don't know. It feels like the Reiki instructor all over again of like, the vibe is certainly there. I don't know if that's, if that vibe makes it true, but there's no guessing with him. I could sit here and say, well, I don't think he would do that. I think he would go, I'm sure he's fucking somebody, but I'm like, I feel like it would be this. And so, there's no guessing. I mean, look at the history. Look at the material. There's no way to even wrap your head around. It could be anything.
Okay, so I was thinking about this before you got here. And here's what I'm thinking. Is he is not having sex with a publicist at this point. But I wouldn't be surprised if he is in some sort of emotional affair. Because we are not getting a sense of where he sees himself in this relationship, including physically, sexually. Something is happening where he is not interested in having his needs be met, and certainly not having any interest in meeting the needs of his partner. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was getting some of that from maybe a friendship with another woman, maybe something else. I don't think he was physically cheating on Brittany. I do not believe that. No part of me believes it. I think now that they're separated, maybe, you know, a friendship that he had developed that he depended on someone for, some sort of support or commitment, maybe those people are fucking. Maybe he's fucking somebody now that they're separated. When he can, you know, they're separated. Brittany's talked about that, that like we can date other people. And with Jax, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just decided at some point or whatever, I think it's decided, I think it was a choice to not share his feelings or whatever with Brittany and to open up to somebody else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I do think that is similar to the vibe with that like Reiki therapist lady that he had who he was like telling I love you on the phone. Like, I feel like that was a very similar thing where I don't think he was actually sleeping with that person, but it was like this weird, weird, weird thing that could be categorized as an emotional affair. And I feel like the publicist very well could be a very similar situation.
That was like mid-era Vanderpump Rules. Remember, he was like, call me Jason, don't call me Jax.
Yes, oh my God.
I recoiled. I was like, oh, that is, that feels like some sort of boundary crossing that should not happen. Yeah. It was, I could see that existing with his publicist, potentially. This is a comedy podcast, allegedly, or with somebody else. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. It actually, for people who watch, do you watch Married to Medicine? I feel like you do.
I started recently to do like a full catch up. So I watched like the first two to three seasons, but I'm still very behind.
I'm so jealous. It's a version of, but not in no way connected to the same thing, what Simone and Dr. Simone and Cecil talked about during the season five reunion of a couple on Married to Medicine. The husband had developed a relationship, a close friendship with a woman. The major difference here is that both people always said that it was not a romantic relationship, but that he was sort of committed to his friend and would sometimes choose the friend over his wife when it came to his priorities and attention. And not sometimes, I mean like often. That was, there was no question, there was no crossing of lines. It was not untoward in terms of romantic or anything else. I think I just see a similarity in terms of like one of the spouses here being disconnected, and a part of that disconnection is with a relationship with a woman. But that was strictly platonic to my memory. I think both of them clarified and confirmed that it was strictly platonic. But the issue was the attention paid and the prior, not making Dr. Simone a priority. With Jax and Brittany, it's like he uses her drinking. He says things under her breath when he talks about her drinking, parenting. He did it at that fucking weird moment in their goddamn hotel penthouse where he was like, that's the alcohol.
Yes,
where he's like, you're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to have feeling. And he negates her feelings in a way that is the exact opposite of what Danny does with Nia. Mm-hmm. Like Danny says, your feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. How can I help you? Jax is like, you're not allowed to have feelings. Your feelings are stupid. Yeah. And also, I'm not here for you. Alcohol is here for you. Like mm-hmm. He says things in a way that are just so rude.
Yeah.
And
it's like calculated too. Yeah. With he kind of does it with a scalpel. It's very like sprinkled through, seemingly very deliberately. It's like an artist at work. Yeah. If the artist was evil. It's like very like leaving breadcrumbs there. Mm-hmm. Like it's interesting to watch, because once you see it, then you see it, like you catch them.
Yeah, you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. With Jax. Yeah. And I think that's what Brittany has talked a lot about in real time, is that like he really made her feel terrible about herself. And now we're in a dynamic where they're not sleeping together. She's not getting any kind of physical attention. She's thinking about what has changed in our relationship. She's thinking about her body. Is he not attracted to me mm-hmm. anymore after I had kids? Like, that's a burden. That's a lot for her to carry on her own. And he is, just to his core, just not a support system in that way. He has not, I think, nor has he ever been mm-hmm. that guy. Sometimes his support comes as the result of him trying to like get away with poor behavior. Mm-hmm. That's when he'll support, because that's the only way to stay in a relationship potentially without that person leaving. With where they are now, I'm like, I don't know that. He does the thing in real time that she says he does in the episodes as they air, of like, he says that everything's going to be okay. He mm-hmm. minimizes where we are in our dynamic and just brushes it off. And I see him doing that in real time. And he, you know, does these interviews on the red carpet or whatever, where he's like, yeah, I'm working on myself, whatever else. Again, as with Jesse, what does that work actually mean?
Yeah.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging.
And I'm curious, because I think Brittany, I think it was on Watch What Happens, she talked about there being this aha moment where it clicked into place for her that, okay, I'm leaving, like, this is, and she talked about it as if it was this singular moment, like this thing happened. And I'm curious if we see that, or I'm curious if we have already seen it, and when exactly that takes place, in relation to this season, because, and that's part of the I'm hoping, and I'm assuming we will, get a reunion, for this, because I feel like there's much to discuss about what happened since cameras went down.
What the fuck is Bravo even doing? And they have all of this free time on their hands since they're not giving us Housewives franchises to watch. How on earth do they not have the budget? Or, like, how has that not been confirmed? Are they not paying attention to the fact that we've all been fucking rabid about the Valley since the premiere episode? It hasn't even been a slow boil. People started watching the show and they were like, "Ooh, I'm interested." How do you not? It's going to cost you $1.50 to produce. These are. It's not like you're. It's a Housewives franchise. Just put it in a soundstage.
Do it Vanderpump.
I mean, don't give us a Watch What Happens reunion. We're too good for that. But, like, do it. Yeah. Give us the stage of whatever Vanderpump. Use the catering room. Like, I don't care. Put them on a fucking catering van. Just do whatever you need to do. Yeah. We need to see the reunion. We must see the reunion. You're telling me we're not getting the chance to see Kristen or Jax at a reunion cycle?
Yeah. No, we must. We must. I have faith that we're getting a reunion.
And the cast told us that we were getting a reunion. So why do we? I mean, I think that somebody was like, I assume that it's happening.
Yeah.
But then someone put out into the ether on social this week or last week that it's like maybe not happening.
No, I think it has to happen. Yeah.
It has to happen.
Because also, they're so cheap. They must be. Reunions are the reason we get them, and they're so like three parts, four parts. It's easy money, I feel like. You get 3 to 4 full bonus episodes in a day versus what otherwise would have been like 3 weeks of filming. So no, I feel like we must, especially just with given the hype around the show and given what the show is giving to us story-wise, it makes so much sense that we would get it. They must just be slow. I mean, like I think Martha's Vineyard is doing a reunion and they just announced that. So I think it must just be they announce late in terms of, and I feel like we must still have a decent amount of the show left, but time flies when you're having fun, so who knows.
True that. I think that there are, I don't know why I know this or why I think I know this, I think there are 4 episodes left of Valley. I don't know why I know that. I don't know.
Well, that gives them time to film a reunion.
And I'm glad that they didn't film it before we found out that maybe Jax is fucking his publicist, because that to me is fascinating. And he changed the publicity handle for the contact on his Instagram profile. Doesn't mean he's no longer fucking her. It just means that
he wants people to stop emailing her. Are you fucking Jax?
Can you imagine what her, oh God, that would be, that's not a pleasant thing to think about, honestly. Oh, this show is giving me everything that I need. And the trailer for next week is like, what is this about a famous person? Didn't we already have that conversation about Michelle, I guess, having platonic dinners with a director?
So this is a
different famous person that she may be shipping or dating or seeing or talking to. So there are two. Am I accurate, correct in saying that? I don't know if I'm misinterpreting what the little trailer for the next episode was.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm like, did my DVR cut off?
Oh, it might have.
But that does feel right. But the unnamed director was a fun moment as well.
Who do you think it was?
I feel like, what did I see online? I saw the two names I saw were Tarantino or Michael Bay.
Yeah. Of the two? Or do you think it was somebody else?
I feel like people are trying to like piece together and have clues. I could see Michael Bay. I feel like Tarantino might be a little too top of mind. In terms of like, oh, a director in LA, and it's like too on the nose. as a guess. Like, I feel like Michael Bay is a little bit of a deeper cut where I'm like, that I could see that being alleged.
Is she going to tell us? She has to tell us. We have to know.
Reunion, right in.
Truly. Everybody. Someone, Susan from Cincinnati, yes. Just write in and say who was the director. Blink twice if it was Michael Bay, and take off your shoes if it was Tarantino.
Sheena, like, would tell us.
Sheena would
wear it on a t-shirt.
Sheena would sing a song.
Yes.
Called How You Like Dem Apples Part 2.
Marina Del Bay.
Oh my God, I can't get over the show. I love it so much. Yeah. And I do just have to mention that, you know, there were several conversations that I found meaningful, all involving Nia and Danny and Nia's sister-in-law on this episode. But the part that really, really landed for me was that dinner where Jesse and Michelle think they're walking in, they're just going to shit talk Kristen for an hour and a half. And Nia just breaking down and being like, there is so much stress in my life right now.
Oh, yeah.
You are adding on to it. I cannot prioritize, even take this on, because I am struggling. That moment to me was so fucking powerful. And like, Michelle had tears in her eyes. And then the guys were talking, but I think that maybe they were making sure that Nia and Michelle had a moment. That really, really landed for me. I was like, I'm glad that she spoke up. I'm glad that she set boundaries. I'm glad that she understood, you know, I'm filming a reality TV show right now, but I am struggling in my life and I cannot have this conversation about, like, assuming that this whole thing with Kristen is the worst thing that can happen in the world when I'm dealing with some significant challenges.
Yeah. And I mean, even just the moving conversation, too, is one where she just shut it down and was like, can't take this on right now.
Yeah.
In terms of the houses. But did you know that, just a fun fact.
Oh, please.
Danny and Mia's twins are actors on Young Sheldon.
Do you know I did know that? Yeah, yeah. Because Nia put up a reel of them like going backstage. Like,
are they on set?
Yeah. So she did a whole thing because they share a part.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of the babies, I think, was a little under the weather. So the other one was going to sub in. And it was very sweet.
Yeah. If it takes two of them to play one baby on Young Sheldon, does it take four of them to play two babies on the Valley?
Will we ever find out? I love her so much. I hope that she's doing well now.
Mm-hmm.
The way that she was talking about how she was calling the feelings that she had baby blues specifically because she didn't want to put a more formal name to this and really
give it power,
but also accept that there's something that's happening that cannot be written off as some people like to do when minimizing how women react to childbirth and the challenges after the fact. I got into this on a recent Taking It Personally with Bravo Bravo Talking Bravo, but just like her having that realization and sharing that with us, and then later on at the dinner saying postpartum, like to just kind of see how language was really key to her trying to just get through the postpartum was really, like, just as an outsider, was really interesting to me, but I just was so connected to it. I felt nothing but absolute empathy for her in that moment.
Yeah.
And I think that it's adding, with all the like craziness with Kristen and Jax and you know, some layered stuff with Brittany and Jax, there's just something about like having this story be told that's so powerful, that's so meaningful, that's going to be connected for so many people, so many families. I just really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I just really do. And I think that she's, you know, she's climbing a mountain right now. And just to have the benefit for some of us as outsiders, for some who might be in it or have gone through it or might be concerned about potentially going through it. I just think it's something that can connect all of us regardless of our experiences, but certainly experiences play a part in how we do.
Yeah.
Listen, Tom Smith Smythe, I could talk to you all day. We did a double hander. We did a double tip. We dipped twice, and I am so thankful to you for it. You need to come back to talk about, I just forgot the name of the Apple show.
Palmerail.
Yes, because I'm a couple episodes behind. Has the finale happened?
Next week.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I'll catch up by then. I am going on a little bit of a trip today as I record this, which Patreon supporters know because I did last night come to terms with the fact that this trip is happening, because I am very much in denial about it. Once I get back, I absolutely need to catch up, and I would love to have you back to unpack it.
Yeah,
it's a good show.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like very wacky and over the top and incredible cast. Yeah, it's a good time.
Oh my God, Carol Burnett.
Oh, so good.
So good. Kristen Wiig killing the game, but Carol Burnett is doing.
I mean, to see the two of them together.
Oh, it is a gift.
Yeah.
I really, really recommend it on Apple. Mm-hmm. Not many episodes, maybe 10, 12.
Yep, 10.
Okay, great. So that's something that's binge. That's possible to binge in a weekend. I mean, goal setting. You know what I'm saying? Much like Jax, you could just got to really focus. Tom Smith Smythe, in the meantime, tell the AGs and tippers where they can follow you on social, read those recaps of Palm Royale, mention it all, and more.
Yep. So those are on Vulture. And then on social, I am at Tom_Smythe_ on Twitter and Instagram. And then my very housewife centric Instagram is at Milk and Don't Call Me Honey.
Oh,
follow
love
me
that.
There.
Very into that. Guys, you know what else I'm into? When you sign up for the AG Patreon, number one way to support the pod, you get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more, like 2 bonus episodes out now where I am talking about a little Southern Charm, talking about a little Real Housewives of Potomac, talking a little bit about, words are fun, talking a little bit about Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, and also unpack a 3,000 plus word Satchel, as you know, Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives, Bravo, and more, from Hannah in Chicago talking about sexism and misogyny on Summer House, on a little bit of, she actually mentioned Martha's Vineyard, which I need to, that's on my list of things I absolutely must watch, and Pump Rules and The Valley. It is a fascinating, fascinating deep dive, centered in a lot of Carl and Lindsay stuff, but also focused on other cast interactions as well. So you can listen to those episodes up now at the AG Patreon, patreon.com/AndyScrolls. $2 a month gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month gets you 4, including those 2 episodes I just mentioned. And follow me on Instagram and Allegedly Threads at Dame Galley. Tom Smith Smythe, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, thanks to you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Au revoir.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.